health problems. It could be, could be your back. I know my dad's dealt with that. I've had a little bit of it. I know I shouldn't have because I'm 21, but but I'm stupid. But it could be other things. It could be family members. You're having, difficulties in family members. And the Lord just showed me, hey, I'm here for you. You don't, and this person, what hurt the most was this person that I used to eat lunch with them, and I used to talk, and we'd converse, and, she was one of the better coworkers that didn't always, that didn't cuss, that didn't use profanity and talk about things that weren't right. And so, a disconnect happened, and I don't know if it was because I witnessed to another one of my coworkers, and they went to her and said, hey, he told me that he's planning on witnessing to you. And I was telling one of my coworkers, Tanya, I said, I've been meaning to get around to you this, and I we're friends, and I didn't want to ruin that, but I know that this is more important than, it's more important for you to know the Lord and to hear the gospel than it is to, be friends. And sometimes you have to sacrifice friendships in order to reach somebody. Because, we're not always, the Bible says, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so, I'm not saying I was persecuted. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that, sometimes you're going to have some disconnects with people because you're different. Because you don't cuss. You don't talk about profanity, every other word that comes out of your mouth. You don't laugh about the jokes they laugh about. You don't stick around and look at the pictures they look at. And, there's going to be a difference. And so, it kind of really hurt because she said, I won't say what she said to me, but it just was really, really personal, and really, it's like this. Satan gave her a dagger, and he's like, "This is exactly what you need to say," and just stab it into him. And so, when the words were said, I was just kind of like, "That's really what you think about me?" Like, and so I just kind of was like, it was really hurtful. It was I wasn't expecting it. It was, it's just something you're just like, you're like, "Whoa, where did that come from?" And so. Really, I just the day that it happened, I went out. I was on break. Praise the Lord, it was on right before break time. So I went out on break, and I was just crying out to the Lord. I was weeping. I was like, Lord, I don't know what I did wrong. I don't know what this lady has against me. And I was just crying out to the Lord. I was on the phone with my fiance, and I was like, babe, I don't want to go back in there. I said, this hurt. I said, I don't know what I did wrong. I don't know what I said. And I said, I was just crying out to the Lord. And I said, and, it was at that moment my fiance told me, she was praying, and she said, I prayed that the Lord would give you a hug. And it was different because when I walked back in there, the Lord took away the tears, and the Lord said, hey, I'm here for you. And it was like the day changed. I mean, for the first hour, I was a little upset, and people were like, hey, are you okay? You're usually up, joyful and happy and optimistic, And I said, no, I'll be fine. And then finally, I was like, my focus doesn't need to be on that. The Lord was trying to say, hey, your focus doesn't need to be on this person. This person is, yes, they need Jesus Christ. And yes, you need to act the right way, but your focus needs to be on me. You need to pray. And when the moment when I turned to God and I said, Lord, I need help. Lord, I need you at this time. And the Bible says that he gives us the comforter. It's the Holy Spirit. And he walks alongside us and he says, hey, it's going to be okay. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, I believe it's Romans 8, 28, it says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so the Lord used that this situation is still going on at work. She still won't talk to me. She still ignores me. But I've just been praying. The Lord's been teaching me, kind of maturing me on how to love your enemies. Because it's gone from a friendship to an enemy relationship. I can't talk to her. She won't let me talk to her. She told me not to talk to her again, ever, and which I don't know how that works because we work together. But I just, I've been praying for her. I told Pastor to pray for her, and if you would, pray for her. Her name's Brandy. And it's really been difficult because I go to work, and I'm having a good day. I start my day by reading my Bible. And what's another thing I learned was just the importance of starting my day reading my Bible. And every day I go to prayer, and I'm like, Lord, pray for Brandy. I'm like, Lord, please help Brandy. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's my lifestyle that's convicting. I'm not saying I'm a holy person, but, we're just different. And so that's how I came to this sermon. Is it working now? Okay, so if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 6, 5 through 8. So that's how I came to this sermon. The Lord's just really been, throughout this month of August, the Lord's been showing me the importance of prayer and the importance of going to the Lord when there's a problem or a situation, maybe it's on somebody else's behalf, maybe somebody else has a health problem, but just going to the Lord, just the fact of praying and seeking the Lord's face and not quitting like Jacob until you get an answer. I will not let thee go until thou bless me, Jacob said to the angel of the Lord. So Matthew chapter 6, I'm in Mark. Matthew chapter 6, we'll start in verse 5. And when thou prayest, Jesus is talking about, he just got done talking about the Pharisees giving alms, the hypocrites. Verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you once again, Lord, for just the day, Lord, that you've blessed us with, Lord. It's Sunday, it's the Lord's Day, and Lord, thank you that we're able to hear some preaching from your word today, Lord, just buying the truth, Lord, and not compromising what we believe, Lord, just getting buying Jesus Christ, getting into his word, Lord, just, Lord, you are the truth. You're the definition of truth. You're the word. You're the everlasting Father, Lord. We just thank you that we're able to be here tonight, Lord, and I know there's not a lot of us here, but Lord, that doesn't matter. Lord, the Holy Spirit can still move in our hearts. So Lord, we still can hear from God. We still can hear from your word. And Lord, I pray for many other churches around here that are meeting tonight. Lord, bless their services, Lord. And Lord, just use me tonight as a vessel. Lord, pour me out for your use. Lord, help me not to be dirty. Lord, help me to be clean and ready to be used. And Lord, I pray that we would all be used of you in our lives and our jobs. And Lord, just be a testimony of Jesus Christ in our lives. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When I say the word prayer, what comes to your mind? We often hear in church, let us pray, or brother, would you pray for the service? What does pray or prayer mean? What is its significance? What makes this word so important? Well, let us define this word. Prayer, noun, in a general sense, the act of asking for a favor, and particularly with earnestness. Number 2 definition in Webster's 1828. In worship, a solemn address to the supreme being consisting of adoration or an expression of our sense of God's glorious perfections, confession of our sins, supplication for mercy and forgiveness, intercession for blessings on others and thanksgiving, or an expression of gratitude towards God for his mercies and benefits. A prayer may consist of a single petition, and it may be extemporaneous, written, or printed. Webster's 1828 Dictionary. Prayer, I was talking to my dad. I said, prayer to me in one word equals, as a synonym, I would say, humbleness. Because you're saying, Lord, I can't do it on my own. When you ask God to save you, you said, Lord, please save me. Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I don't want that anymore. I want Jesus Christ's righteousness. I need Jesus Christ's righteousness in order to make it to heaven. You say, Lord, I need your help. That's what prayer is. To me, it's a plea for help. Lord, help me. Lord, I need help today. Lord, my coworker's being this way, or my sister's being this way, or my wife is being this way, or whatever. You know, we can be personal. We've only got, 6 or 7 people here tonight. Okay, there's going to be times when people you love hurt you, and the people you love can hurt you the most because you enable them to. You know, when we hurt, can you believe this? When we sin, it grieves the Lord. He's saddened. He's like, I have so much better for you. I have this, you know, this is why it's sad when people I know that used to be in church and used to serve the Lord and used to read their Bible and used to sing in church and play the piano and they go astray. And it's like, the Lord's, I can just see the Lord. I had so much better for you. I had this, but you wanted that. You wanted, what does the Bible say? Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Your way doesn't work. Our weight, when I go to work, if I try to live in my strength at work, I will be just like anybody else there. Because I have the flesh. I'm capable of being a fleshly man. You can be a carnal Christian, The Bible talks about you can be filled with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, because that's what our flesh is. That's what our flesh consists of. When has your flesh ever done anything good? Now, you can have habits of spiritual habits of, you know, you can read your Bible, you can pray, and, you know, but I mean, as we'll see later, you can pray and not reach God. And, you know, there's a lot of people, they like the Pharisees, it was just habitual for them. It wasn't anything more. It was just a tradition they do. I mean, look at Catholics when they do the Rosemary. Mary, Mary, full of grace, please bless this weird looking place. I mean, something like that. And it's just a ritual. And, you know, with Muslims, it's, you know, they pray to Allah. They pray towards the east every, you know, 6 a.m. And I don't know what the times are, but it's just a ritual. And our prayers shouldn't be a ritual. It should be a fervent, heartfelt desire to for the Lord to come down and move. It should be the fervent prayer of a righteous man. It should be from the heart. You know, you tell the Lord what you're feeling. I mean, I feel like a lot of people, when they pray, it's this far-off, distant thing. It's nothing personal. It's oh, well, Lord, pray for the children of Israel, Lord. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with praying generically. But pray specifically. Pray for your own. Pray for your sins. Pray, Lord, I have a problem of speaking wickedly. You know, God doesn't want, you know, we like to sin in detail and confess in wholesale. That's what we do. I mean, I do it. Lord, forgive me for my sins today, because I don't like to go into what I did. You know, I don't like to say, oh, Lord, I purposely talked bad about this person and I gossip and I said this or that. Please forgive me, because it doesn't make you feel good. And so, so our first point is, when thou prayest, verse 5, don't be as the hypocrites. The hypocrites Jesus is speaking of are the Pharisees. They would purposely pray in public places where multitudes of people were, so that they may be seen of men. Their attitude was one of piety and arrogance. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, we'll start in verse 10. And this is a parable of the Pharisee and the publican that go up to pray. Luke chapter 18, verse 10 says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, oh, this got to be good, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Pharisee stood. He was a Pharisee and proud of it. He followed the law. He went above and beyond the call of duty. He was so holy, he made more laws to protect against extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. He would never commit sin or transgress the law. Do we all see the sin shattering his image? Can you see it? Can you hear in his words? It screams, pride, pride, pride. Look at me. Look what I do. Look how I live. Look who I am not. What arrogance. If he truly was holy, quotation marks, he would have fell on his face, prostrate before God, because he would have known who he was speaking to. God isn't some person we can put on a show for and pretend like everything is okay. He tries the hearts. He knows your thoughts. God knows and sees all. Look at the part where he says, pray thus with himself. These words are important. Why does God record it thus? He was not praying to God. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. James 4:6b. His pride only allowed the prayer, if we should call it that, to go no farther than his breath. God does not hear the prideful heart. You may pray, but if you are not humble, it will just be jumble. God resisteth the proud. God doesn't want us to pray piously. God doesn't want us to sound all elegant when we pray in church. I mean, there's nothing wrong with praying. When I used to attend church up in Arden, our pastor up there would pray scripture. He'd say, you know, Lord, we know that neither is there salvation in any of that. You can witness to people through prayer. You can sit at a restaurant and be like, Lord, we thank you that we're saved by grace. Lord, please bless this food to our bodies. And it's only through Jesus Christ that we have salvation and proclaiming truth through prayer. And that's good because it's a testimony of God. It's saying, hey, God, remember this verse? Remember where you said, neither is there salvation in any other? Neither. Remember when you said, if thou shalt confess thy sin, the Lord Jesus? And, we remind, not that God needs to be reminded, but that we're saying, hey, Lord, this is for others, our benefit, and the my benefit, that I need to know this. Verse 12 says, he goes, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possessed. He bragged of what he did. This is not prayer. Prayer asks for the Almighty's help, his intervention, and his mercy. This Pharisee is just, you just want to be like, you stupid idiot. You just want to go slap him. It's like, how could you say that? I mean, you look at verse 12, I fast twice. Who says that when they pray? I give tithes of all that I possess. I mean, if that's not arrogance, what is? I mean, this guy was full of himself. I mean, when you're so full of self, how is Jesus supposed to get any room? He had his cup to the top full of himself and it was spilling over the side. And God doesn't work like that. God, like I said, his breath, his prayer didn't get any farther than his breath. Because he was praying about himself. It wasn't about God. This wasn't a prayer. I mean, the Bible says, pray thus with himself. It was basically a hype speech or a motivational speech. That's kind of what it was. Oh yeah, I do this. I do that. I look good. I give my tithes and all this stuff. And it's like, no, that's not what prayer is. Verse 13 says, describing the publican here, standing afar off. He didn't stand in the corner of the streets like the Pharisee. I picture him in an alley, maybe between a market stand seen by few people. I see reverence. I see respect. This man knew who God was. He knew who he was. Publicans, tax collectors, dirty dealers. Remember Zacchaeus? Remember that guy? He stole. Most publicans were known for stealing. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Right? So the Bible says that Zacchaeus got saved, and the Bible says that he restored fourfold to anybody that he had falsely dealt. Fourfold, that's four times what he had dealt. So if you gave somebody 20, four times two is, if you gave somebody $20, four times 20 is 80, right? So no common core math, right? This is basic math, right? He'd restore fourfold of what he stole. And so it's like, this publican, he was the dirtiest of the dirties. I mean, yeah, the Pharisee, might have been better in the sense of he didn't live a certain way, but he wasn't. His pride outweighs the publican's sin. It's like this huge beam that's just sticking out. When you read that, everybody can see it. They're like, this guy is just full of himself. You ever met somebody that's all they want to talk about is themselves, what they did, and how they look, and all these accomplishments? And it's like, no. The only thing Christians should be speaking of is what God has done, because really that's all you can brag about. You can brag about whatever you want, but really the only thing that's going to matter is what God has done in our lives. In verse 12, it says, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. He didn't look up all lofty and grandeur, but simply bowed his head and pleaded for mercy. His prayer wasn't long or drawn out. It wasn't detailed or eloquent. He didn't brag of his accomplishments or as his predecessor did. He stated that he was a sinner. It would behoove us to remember who we are. A sinner is all we are. It's all you are. It's all I am. But then came Jesus and transformed you, took your sin, and now you're a son of God, a joint heir with Christ. Amen. That's really all we are. I mean, Jesus created Adam and Eve, right? Adam and Eve broke that one rule, don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the midst of the garden of good and evil, right? Well, they do. So Eve ate, then Adam ate willingly. He wasn't deceived, right? So that's why the men are guilty for sinning, or responsible. And then, so God says, okay, God, what God could have did? Okay, I'm done with you guys. Boom, you're all gone. I'm going to restart. Or he didn't have to restart. But he sent his only begotten son. He started in the garden. He made a way. He killed a lamb. He covered their clothing because man's efforts aren't good enough. They used fig leaves, and obviously that didn't work. And I mean, seems like we've resorted back to that in our swimming standards, but we need to stay. We need to let God clothe us. So Sorry. He made a way. He made the cross. And so he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to. God doesn't... Well, I was talking to my brother the other day, Tim. And I mean, he was talking to me about the sovereignty of God. And he's talking about how God does not owe us anything good. Can you believe that? I mean, he saved you. That's good enough. That's all he has to do, really. I mean, he doesn't have to do that. I shouldn't say has to. He doesn't have to. But he did it. He said, Daniel Marbella, if you repent of your sin and you turn to the Lord and you ask for forgiveness, I will give you eternal life. And all that I ask in return is that you live your life for me. Is that too much to ask? I mean, I can just see it. The judge is standing here. I've come up to the what do they call that? The stool or whatever. And I say, Your Honor, I've done this, 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 this. And then he says, You're guilty. But Jesus stands up and says, Hey, I have a deal. I'll exchange my life for it to pay his debt, and he can live eternally. And I say, But Lord, I deserve to go to hell. I mean, anybody that's saved knows that they deserve hell. Everything that I ever did, even now, I still deserve hell. I don't deserve heaven. I'm still a sinner. I'm still guilty. But when I get saved, God takes his righteousness and he says, Okay, Daniel, this is your righteousness now. So when God sees me, he says, Okay, look, there's another one of my children that accepted my eternal gift of salvation. And God says, Okay, you're saved. You're born again. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do anything. And what I'm getting at is God does not owe us anything. If you prayed, God doesn't ever have to answer your prayer. I mean, that sounds drastic, but that's true. I mean, there's a song, Any Doubt That You Loved Me Was Settled at the Cross. And the song goes, How I love to read the book you wrote for me. You sent your only son to pay my sin. But you don't have to tell me. You proved how much you loved me. And I know, I'll still know, that if you never speak another word of blessing, and the silence leaves me with a sense of loss, I'll remember when my heart begins to question, any doubt that you loved me was settled at the cross. If that's all God did for us, that's all we need. I mean, you should still want to serve him. You should still want to be praising his name. Okay, let's get back to it, getting distracted here. And then number two, when thou prayest, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, enter into thy closet and shut the door. Words are very important. I believe God includes certain words in our Bible for importance and emphasis. Words like thou, shalt, verily, and will. Did you notice the wording, when thou prayest? God didn't say, if you pray. He said, when thou prayest. There is going to come a time when you will pray. This life is difficult, filled with sorrow, pain, and suffering. I don't believe it's a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Prayer is saying, God, I can't do this. I need your help. I need you to intercede in this situation. I need your healing on this person's life. I need you to save my family. I need you to help me. If God hasn't already brought you to this point, it will come. You need Jesus for salvation, and you surely need him for your daily life. You can't do it on your own. You need Jesus. You can't be nice enough. You need Jesus. You can't always say the right thing. That's why you need Jesus. You can't save yourself. That's why you need Jesus. Isn't that really what he came to do? To seek and to save that which was lost? I mean, prayer is really... I printed off some quotes by C.H. Spurgeon. 40 quotes by C.H. Spurgeon. I mean, it's a lot, but they're all about prayer. The very act of prayer is a blessing. To pray is to enter the treasure house of God and to gather riches out of inexhaustible storehouse. You are before the Lord. Let your words be few, but let your heart be fervent. As well could you expect a plant to grow without air and water as to expect your heart to grow without prayer and faith. You observe that desire to commune with God is intensified by the failure of all other sources of consolation. And I mean, there's 45 more. But I won't read all of them yet. I might read a couple at the end. But I was reading some of those, I was like, that's really good. I mean, it's not scripture, but it's good. It's good words. But the thing is there's going to come a time, like I just said, there's going to come a time when you literally are going to be forced to pray. Because, you know, first thing I did was I went and talked to people. I told my fiance, I told my parents, I told my dad. And, you know, I told some people. I was like, this person at work is just being ridiculous. And the Lord's like, So yeah, when you finally got exhausted about telling other people you're going to come to me, I mean that's kind of, I mean I don't think I'm the only one that does that, but that's kind of what I did. Well, I went around and talked to people. And I said, do you know what I did? Do you know what I did to offend this person? Do you know what I did? You know, did I say something? Did they tell you anything that I did? You know, I'm trying to figure this out. You know, I'm trying to play the Daniel figure it out game, do it on my own. You know how we do things. And I was like, Lord, what did I do? You know, and then finally, I was like, okay, Lord, I can't figure this lady out. And it's like, Lord, I had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, did I do something wrong? And I just kept praying that, Lord, did I do something wrong? I just kept bringing it up. Lord, did I do something wrong? And he's like, no, you didn't do anything wrong. I was like, okay, then what are you trying to show me? You know, what are you trying to teach me? And he was trying to teach me, hey, you need to turn to me. You know, when things get rough in life, when you lose a loved one, and you know, God can either be the closest person to you in your life, or he can be the farthest person away in your life. Because when you go through something, I mean, losing my grandpa was hard. I mean, I didn't really know my grandpa super well, but because he was family, and I remember him coming to our house when I was younger and dropping off birthday cards and, you know, being there, giving us, I mean, one thing grandpa always did was he always sent us a birthday card on our birthday. And I don't remember when he stopped, but I always remember that about grandpa. And he would do crazy things, like he'd just show up at the house and he'd ride his bike all the way from Newman Lake. And he's like, hi. And we're all like, what's grandpa? And, you know, we'd all get excited. And during that time, I was just, you know, I got the call when I was at work. And my sister, Rebecca, I think, called me and said, hey, grandpa's in the hospital. And this was during COVID. So you had to schedule a time to come in. And I was like, okay, I'm going to be fine. Grandpa's going to be okay. The Lord's going to handle this. And then I just started breaking down. I started crying. And I was like, Lord, please save my grandpa. I know I don't think he's saved. And so on that drive home, I was praying. I was like, just crying out to the Lord. I was like, Lord, please help my grandpa. Please heal him. And Lord, I don't know if he's saved. Lord, I want him to be saved. And there's a song that came on by Matt and Christy Taylor. It was called Do Not Be Afraid, for I am always with you. And it was just a comfort to me. It was like that Lord put that song on the playlist at that time because I needed it. And the Lord does things like that. Is when you're going through a hard time, he'll bring a song or he'll bring a passage of scripture that you read. And I last week in my Bible reading, I've been reading through Revelation. And I was on chapter 21. Chapter 21 is about heaven. And I was just reading about heaven and how beautiful it's going to be. 12 foundations, all different stones, sapphire, jasper, beryl. I mean, just name it. It's on the wall. And then there's gates of pearl. And me and my fiance were joking around. We're like, that's one big clam. I mean, one big oyster, sorry. And I was like, you're so ridiculous. I was like, is anything too hard for God? But anyway, we were joking about that. But the Lord brought that chapter, and I was reading that. I was like, Lord, that, and I went to work, and I was talking to Mark. I don't know if you guys know who Mark is, Mark McAfee. And I was telling Mark, I was like, have you read Revelation 21 about heaven and how beautiful it's going to be? And I said, the Bible says the streets are made of gold and they're crystal clear. That's how pure the gold is. And I was like, this is just going to be a great place. And the Lord just kind of gave me that encouragement. And what I'm getting to is that during our times of struggling or temptation, right? I mean, and a lot of times when we forget God when we're being tempted, when we're being tried, we don't always turn to the Lord. And I firmly believe the Lord's just trying to say, hey, you need to turn to me. When you're going through something rough, I mean, ask Brother Fred. Probably when you're going through your back situation, that's a little nervy. Getting back surgery, you know, they're not experts. They're not perfect. And, you know, one slip up on that spinal cord and you could be paralyzed for life. You know, and the devil, he likes, and our flesh likes to do this too. We'll say, well, what if they mess up? Well, what if they don't? What if they do? You know, what prayer says, no, I'm trusting God. Prayer says, I'm not worried about what's down here. This isn't distracting me. God, what's going on? And it's hard. It's hard to do that. I mean, you think, I'm sure some of you might be laughing about what's going on in my work, but it's when somebody's acting this way, and the Satan wants you to get focused on this. What's going on around here? You know, what's going on? What's going on with the neighbor? Why was the cops at their house last night? Oh, no, Spokane's getting worse. Biden's in the White House. All this stuff. Oh, Nancy Pelosi's still our whatever secretary. I don't know what she is, but, you know, whatever, you know. And that's what you know, the cares of this world. What does Jesus tell the disciples? Take no thought what you shall eat or what you shall drink, for your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these things. And the devil, he's very good at distractions. You know, like Dad was saying, He's like that carnival guy. Hey, we got some popcorn, kettle corn, comic corn. You know, that's what the devil does. He's a distractor. He likes to, you know, wave you down. He's like one of those hitchhikers in the middle of the night. Hey, give me a thumbs up. You know, I was going to Okanagan one time in the middle, pitch black of night. There was a hitchhiker, and I was like, you're crazy. No, ain't nobody giving you a ride at 12 o'clock at night. But that's what the devil does. He wants to distract you. And if the devil can distract you, just like with Pilgrim and Pilgrim's Progress, by Path Meadow. Pilgrim was going this way, and he's like, oh, look, another trail. Looks like a shortcut. You know, God doesn't take shortcuts. God's the straight and narrow way. The Bible says that. He's the narrow. Okay? Verse 6 of Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, enter into thy closet. It suggests a place of secrecy, a place of quietness and solitude. Find a place where you won't be disturbed, just you and God. Shut thy door. Your prayer time isn't a show to be broadcasted to everyone. It's a time to get serious and pour your heart out to God. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. You know, and this is something that I've been learning and the Lord's been teaching me. And this is why I believe the Lord laid this on my heart, is just because, you know, when you're going through something, when the Lord's trying to teach you something, you know, and I always think of it this way. So a preacher told me a long time ago, when God takes you through trials, it's like taking a test in school. If you fail, you got to retake it. And I'm thinking, well, Lord, I did pray for patience a while back, so you're trying to teach me that? Like, you know, everybody knows, don't pray for patience. But the Bible says, the trying of your faith worketh patience, and when patience hath had its perfect work, you should be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So with temptation and the trials of life should bring patience. We should be patient people. Christians should be the most patient people in the world. But am I? No. I'm going to be honest right now. I'm not the most patient person. I don't like repeating myself. My fiance knows this well. So when I have kids, I'm really going to learn that. And okay, point number three, when ye pray, use not vain repetitions. Verse 7, use not vain repetitions. Luke 18:13c, God be merciful to me, a sinner. The publican's prayer was not long. It had 7 words, the number of perfection. You don't have to pray long or repeat a certain phrase over and over to gain merit with God. Humility will go farther than your eloquent speeches ever did. Weeping will speak volumes to God that you never have to utter. Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Don't get caught up on your prayer list. Maybe let God lead what He would have you to pray. Pray from the heart. Pray genuinely. Pray fervently. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I'm not condemning prayer lists. I think they're good. They help us stay on track. They help us remember, especially when you get older. And sometimes I'm 21, but I've walked into a room before, and I'm like, what did I walk in this room for? And then you're like, I'm 21. I shouldn't be having these issues. So then if I'm on the phone with my fiance, I'll be like, what did I walk in this room for? And she's like, oh, you did this. And I was like, oh, that's right. And because I think one time I walked downstairs on our laundry room. I was getting a rag, and I got down there, and I was like, what did I go in here for? But, you know, the Lord, he wants, I mean, I'm not saying prayer lists are bad. They're good. And I have a prayer list, but a lot of them I have memorized. So I have family. So I go through my family. I go through my fiance's family, and I pray for her, and I pray for me. I pray for, you know, each one of my family members. I pray for our church. I pray that the Lord bless our church, pray for pastor. And I think that's one thing everybody here should do. Always pray, be praying for pastor. Always be praying for him and his wife. The devil hates pastors. He hates pastors' wives. He hates anybody that's in ministry trying to help others and serve and be a blessing. And the devil doesn't like anybody that has a good testimony. But speaking of testimony, the Lord also showed me that the Lord is the one who keeps your testimony. If he wants your name to be dragged through the mud, he'll drag it through the mud. But I heard this sermon a long time ago at the men's rally. It says, let God validate and let God vindicate. So you go to God and say, Lord, did I do anything wrong? And if you didn't do anything wrong, then you say, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you with the situation. And honestly, it's hard to do, because when somebody's going around talking bad about you, gossiping about you, telling people lies about you, it's hard to just say, I mean, it's the easiest phrase to say, trust the Lord. And it rolls off the tongue, right? Sounds good. But it's really one of the hardest things you ever do. It is because you're saying, Lord, I'm not trusting myself anymore. Lord, I'm trusting you. And it's a continual thing. It's a daily thing. It's every hour you're saying, Lord, I'm trusting you. And the flesh will say, no, but they're doing this, and you want to complain about it. That's the hardest thing was for me. It's not to complain about it to other people. Just keep my mouth shut, keep my integrity. You know, show that I'm still a Christian, and I still love the Lord, and I'm still going to treat him nice. And it's like you just kind of have to do this. But Lord, and that's one thing the Lord's teaching me too is just shut up. Get out of the way. Get behind me. And just follow me. But I think it's good to have a prayer list. I think it's good to be orientated. But don't get fixed on your prayer list. Lord, pray for Pastor and his wife. Lord, pray for Bonnie Reynolds and Mom and Elizabeth and Brother Ramirez. And, you know, don't make it a boring, repetitious thing you do. You know, maybe just say, Lord, you know, I'm not going to read my prayer list today. Lord, what do you want me to pray for? Maybe there's, you know, I'll be praying sometimes, and the Pinnix family that I went up and visited in Alaska, the Lord will bring them to my mind, and I'll be praying for them. Like, Lord, I know they have a difficult ministry, and I mean, but isn't that every ministry? But, you know, they take long journeys. They spend lots of money to go out and reach these people, the natives in Alaska. And, you know, they spend, when I was there, they spent $500 for one fill-up of diesel on their RV. It's like, that's like almost 2 months worth of gas, more than 2 months worth of gas for me down here in the States. And it's like, I mean, I was like, wow, this is expensive. But, you know, things cost. And the Lord, we need to pray to the Lord and trust that he's going to provide. And, you know, vain repetitions. And this isn't just talking about the rosemary. I mean, a lot of people refer to that because a lot of Catholics do Mary, Mary, full of grace. And, you know, but it's. I mean, I think a lot of us, we sometimes get in this repetitious attitude of, okay, it's time to pray. I do my 15 minutes or, you know, don't put a time limit on it. You know, a lot of people, I mean, I'm not picking on Fred, but one time he said the preaching hour, and I was like, well, Pastor only preached for 45 minutes. So, you know, but I was joking with Pastor about it. But don't put a timeline on God to speak to you. I mean, sometimes because we're busy people, we're always, I'm trying to build the place for me and my fiance. You know, I'm doing this, Lord, please understand. But Lord still wants that time. You know, it's like, I've spent 2 hours on Facebook before. Just scrolling through Facebook, you know, oh, like that post. Oh, that's so cute, that little dog. Right? And pretty soon, 2 hours has flown by. And it's like, you know, and sometimes I'm like, why do I mean, you know, I could have been doing something better. You know, and a lot of times it's, you know, at nighttime when I get home from work, I'm just kind of relaxing. But Lord, I just want to relax. And it takes time for me to pray, and I got to think about it. And it's like, but really, you know, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. You know, when troubles come up, pray. And so, in review, point number one was, when thou prayest, don't be a hypocrite. Point two, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet and shut the door. Point three, when you pray, use not vain repetitions. Is there someone in our Bible who exemplified these traits? Yes, there is, and his name is Jesus. Now quickly, running out of time. Jesus prayed alone. By doing this, he was not hypocritical or prideful. Matthew 14:23, and you don't have to turn here. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up in a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Luke 5:16, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Luke 9:18, and it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? Luke 22:41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. So Jesus exemplified these things he was preaching. Jesus is, in my opinion, the exemplary example of someone who had a prayer life. Jesus had a place where he prayed. Matthew 26:36, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Mark 14:32, and they came to a place which was called Gethsemane, and saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. Mark 14:33, and he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy. Oh, sorry, this is continuing. And saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death, tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. So he got on his knees. He fell to the ground. And so Jesus expressed humility when he prayed. Jesus wasn't repetitious, Matthew 26:39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Matthew 26:42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." So he prayed. He didn't repeat. He wasn't, you know, and I looked up a whole bunch of verses of Jesus praying. But this is really the only passage that it records him that I found in my study that he actually records what he was praying. I know he does. There's the Lord's Prayer in John chapter, I think it's 16 maybe, but it records he's praying for Christians and, you know, "Lord, that I wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't take them out of the world, but that you'd keep them in the world." And so a lot of people get confused in Matthew chapter 6. That's the model prayer. And you notice Jesus never prays that prayer ever. He doesn't say, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." One thing I like to mention is nobody ever quotes that word for word, and they always mess up. They either confuse the Luke chapter, trying to think of the chapter, but the one in Luke, there's one in Luke and there's one in Matthew 6, and they never quote it right. So if that was the Lord, the prayer the Lord wants us to pray, why does nobody ever quote it right? But anyway, that's a side note. But Jesus didn't use repetition or many words to express his heart to God. He didn't use many words either to try to gain God's favor. Jesus is the perfect example of someone who had a prayer life. Cold prayers ask for denial. C.H. Spurgeon. Groanings which cannot be uttered are often prayers which cannot be refused. True prayer is the trading of the heart with God. Sometimes when we do not receive comfort in our prayers, when we are broken and cast down, that is when we are really wrestling and prevailing in prayer. Prayer plumbs the wings of God's young eaglets so that they may learn to mount above the clouds. Prayer brings inner strength to God's warriors and sends them forth to spiritual battle with their muscles firm and their armor in place. So tonight, how's your prayer life doing? You know, I honestly can say it's not where it should be. I mean, my Christian life is not where it should be, and it's not where I want it to be. And we should be striving for greatness. We're serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I mean, you know, one thing the Lord's really showed me is that the importance of prayer is phenomenal. It's colossal. You cannot be a spiritually mature, strength, spirit-filled Christian unless you pray. And I know Pastor Anchor, when he was here, when we attended here for a short time, he preached on prayer, and it is important. And I think a lot of churches need to emphasize it more. But that's not the only thing. I mean, there's many other things. But a lot of people, they don't pray. I honestly believe a lot of people just don't pray. They don't take the time. It takes time to pray. You have to take time. You can pray on your way to work, and you can pray, at your job. But there's something about just taking time, you and God, getting alone in that garden and pouring your heart out to the Lord. Lord, pray. Lord, help this person. Help my loved ones. They need to be saved. Lord, help my family. Help my grandma. Help my, help pastor. And just, the Lord just constantly brings people to mind when you start praying. And it's like pretty soon what used to be a 15-minute, now it's 30. And then pretty soon it's an hour because there's that sweet time between you and the Lord. And a lot of people sing the sweet hour of prayer, but they never experience the sweet hour of prayer. I mean, I prayed an hour one time. And Lord, the time I spent in that hour was like, I don't want to leave. Because it's just, you just start talking to God and you start telling him, Lord, just talking to him and asking, Lord, how was your day? And of course, it's always good with God, but, and it's like, just talk to him like a friend. He's not just, he's up in heaven and we can't reach him. But he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So tonight, I know it went a little bit longer, but how's your prayer life? How, are you, or maybe you fell in some of these places. Maybe you fell in the place that the Pharisee, being a little prideful. And, sometimes I'm like, do I really need to pray today? And I kind of have a cavalier attitude about it sometimes. I'm like, Lord, but I'm busy. I'm trying to do this. And, and it's like, no, but I need to take that time. We need to take that time as a church and as individually just saying, Lord, we need to pray. Prayer is just, like I said earlier, the definition of humbleness. Just bowing down to the Lord, saying, Lord, I need your help today. And so, how's your prayer life when thou prayest? If we would, let's have the pianist come. And If you would bow your head and close your eyes for respect to the Lord. You know, we notice with the publican, he didn't look towards heaven when he prayed. He was humble. He was, Lord, you know, he knew who he was. And, you know, I was thinking about where he said, I'm a sinner. And I was like, Lord, that's what I am. That's what we are. And maybe you need to ask the Lord to help you in your Christian walk. Maybe you're struggling with something. Maybe it's that coworker like with me, and they're just giving you a thorn in the flesh, and you're trying to act the right way and trying to be the spiritual person that you know you're supposed to be. And I don't know you all personally, and I only know me and what I'm struggling with, you know, and just the fight is on, Christian. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It's one thing that I love about Jesus Christ is his peace. In the midst of great tribulation, we can have joy unspeakable. Maybe you're too prideful to pray. I've been there. Lord, I don't need you today. I mean, it sounds very arrogant, and it is. I've said it before. Lord, I'm too busy. That's basically what we say. Lord, I don't need you today. Maybe you do. Maybe you need to reconsider. Have thine own way, Lord. Would you let him have his way in your prayer life? Would you let him take an hour of your day? Maybe two? Maybe three? Like I said, I can spend 2 hours on Facebook. How much do I spend in prayer? Only you can answer that. Well, amen. Thank you for listening attentively. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we come before you, Lord, to just thank you once again for the time together, Lord, and just, Lord, how we can pray. Lord, we can go before the throne of God, and you can intercede on our behalf. And, Lord, you take care of us. Lord, you provide our needs. Lord, like we heard this in Sunday school of the ravens, Lord, and how you take care of them. And, Lord, pray we trust you this week. Lord, turn to you in prayer. Lord, pray that you defend us, Lord, and take care of us. And just we ask these things in our dear Savior's name, in Jesus' name, amen.